Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Okay, congratulations, you've made it to the weekend, and this is your Friday Roundup. And to help me with this today, I have my co-host Brad here with me in the studio. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing quite well, Jonathan. Yeah, what's going on in your life?
Well, we made it through Black Friday. I did not end up making any major purchasing decisions, so a little kudos, pat on the back there. But it was a wonderful time, and excited to be back.
Yeah, I did not go out as well. I don't think I actually purchased anything on either Black Friday or Cyber Monday. I don't know why it's such a shock to me, but I was kind of expecting some amazing Cyber Monday deal that I might jump on, but yeah, didn't see anything. So yeah, didn't purchase.
I will say this is actually pretty cool. We've been kind of kicking the can down the road, but we finally got our t-shirts made. Jason from our community was helping us put that together. And now you can get the official ChooseFI t-shirt on Amazon. So it's now available. I should go ahead and say that we're just selling these at cost. So although we did release it on Black Friday, and I could see how at that amazing value, you could assume that it is just a Black Friday steal, we're just selling them at cost. And so if you want to get a hold of some ChooseFI merchandise, that is now available. The link is on our homepage.
And yeah, Jonathan, you took some flack for that when you posted it on Black Friday on the Facebook group. And people are like, no, I don't want to buy anything today. And yeah, just to be clear, we're not looking to make any money off this. I know we had a bunch of people ask us for ChooseFI t-shirts when there were pictures of Jonathan and I in them. And yeah, we were able to make it so that it goes through Amazon. It's free 2-day shipping. And yeah, I think it's like $12 and a little bit of change. So if you're interested, yeah, you can check it out. Jonathan, should we put a short link in?
Yeah, choosefi.com/t-shirt.
So yeah, if you're interested, you can check it out. Just head either to the homepage of ChooseFI or just choosefi.com/t-shirt.
So Brad, let's go ahead and take a few minutes and talk about this past week's episode with Mrs. Mad Money Monster, who came on the show to share her story, which we appropriately labeled the roller coaster path to FI. And this episode was a little bit different. You know, it really dove into the personal details of someone's journey to get progressively better and essentially have this light bulb moment. I know in many other people's cases, that backstory is a lot shorter, that maybe they had the moment right out of college, or maybe they were already doing a lot of the right things and then slowly or subtly shifted this over. But with Lisa, she had this incredibly impactful story of the highs and lows that come with, honestly, most people's life. I mean, many of us can identify with individual aspects that she had to tease from. Maybe the side of it where she didn't have a single financial mentor in her life that could even point her in the right direction. Maybe the aspect where she didn't believe that she was even capable of something like college. All those limiting beliefs, that baggage that you hold on to that just holds you back. And then the relationship that goes south and pulls you down with it. All these different factors. This is what makes up most of our lives, to be able to see someone have those experiences, walk a mile in your shoes, and then be able to pull yourself out of that and get on this optimized path to FI. That was inspirational, and it struck a chord with our audience that, frankly, I think I was even surprised by.
Yeah, and I think that's an important takeaway for me, is that people relate to all sorts of different stories, right? Like, this is not the traditional path to FI, but this is a path to FI that many people take. And just hearing Lisa talk about it, that resonated with a significant portion of our audience. And they say, if she can do it, we can too. And I think that's really important. Also, you talked about this, we titled this the roller coaster path to FI. It easily could have been overcoming limiting beliefs, right? Like, we talked about so many of them that Lisa came up against. It was growing up poor. It was growing up in a trailer. It was her saying, I'm not smart enough to go to college. I mean, that is crazy talk, right? Like, I'm not smart enough to go to college. That's something that would never cross my mind growing up. You know, me, Brad, growing up in a middle or upper middle class family on Long Island, like, that would have never crossed my mind. But Lisa growing up in the family that she did, that was something nobody had ever gone to college before. So I'm not smart enough is maybe a realistic thought in her mind, even though it is not realistic, right? She clearly is smart enough. She's done extraordinarily well in her life, but she had to overcome that limiting belief. Nobody had ever done it before. She had this friend of hers who, when she spoke to the parents, they said, oh, don't even bother. You're not going to finish. So why even start? Why waste your money? Like, what a ridiculous comment. I know I was kind of apoplectic over that. Like, in
you were so angry for her just in the episode. I was cracking up on my end because I could hear the righteous indignation.
Dude, I mean, I, and that was half of it. Like, I mean, it makes my blood boil that somebody would say that to a child, really, you know, a kid. Who would do that? What kind of awful human being do you have to be to say that to someone else, to even think that thought, not less verbalize it to an impressionable young person? Like, you're not going to finish. It makes me infuriated. I cannot get over that. And you know what? She said, I'll show you. And she went out and she did finish, right? And that is the important part, where she says, I'm coachable. I can learn anything. I have a growth mindset. It's not, oh, I grew up poor. Oh, I have these people in my life telling me that I can't do it. I can do it. I'm coachable.
I love that. That was my single biggest moment. I'm coachable. You know, that's my thing, Brad. I can learn this. I'm willing to put the time in. I'm willing to grab a new skill set, and I'm coachable. You can criticize me, and I can figure out what part of that I can learn from, and I can get better. And it's this constant iteration, not just on like a published work, like a document, but on your own life. I can iterate my life and get continually better in every single aspect.
Yeah, there's no question. And I mean, Jonathan, I know you were talking about Lisa there, but you personally talk about learning, right? Like, think about the last year of your life, where you've gone from and where you are now, as far as learning how to podcast, learning how to create a website, create this Choose-a-Fi community throughout the world. Like, I mean, have you really reflected on like what you've learned and the skills you've picked up in your life just in the last year in your 30s? If you took the limiting belief of, oh, I'm a pharmacist and that's what I went to school for and that's what I'm going to do. Well, now you're a podcaster with a podcast that's been downloaded over 1.5 million times, right? And like, and you did that. That is all you. All this production, all the editing, the reason why this show sounds so good is because of you. And you learned that on the fly because you said, I can learn anything.
You know, it's going to take me a while to kind of sift through this and figure out, is there a process in here, or was this, you know, predestined? Because I don't think it was. I think that it starts with that line that I'm coachable. And let's say you're that person that says, oh, I'm bad with technology. Well, I guess I could have said I'm bad with websites a year ago because I'd never tried to do a website before. But then the question is, are you just going to sit on that one single sentence, or are you going to say, no, I think this might actually be fun. It might be worth my time to go watch a couple YouTube videos, take Alan's advice and look up what can I build for free? You know, insert your keyword there. How can I learn this for free? And then just constantly add to your toolbox and just reject the limiting belief that says I'm bad at this. And embrace a mindset that says, how can I learn this skill set? Where do I go if I want to be coached? Where do I go if I want to learn something that I had never even considered before? That's where I landed. And honestly, Brad, the place that we've kind of set ourselves up for is to always be learning. That's what this show is about, right? I mean, basically, we, Brad and Jonathan, have rejected a traditional 9-to-5 and said, our goal, our life's goal, is to continually learn everything that we don't know, distill it into a story, and share it with the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions of people down the road that also want to learn everything that they don't know that they don't know. That's become my life's work.
Yeah, and it truly is about that life optimization. And you can always learn. Just think about YouTube. You can learn anything you need to learn in the entire world on YouTube. In some senses, I could learn more from YouTube than I could from a university. You can truly learn anything you need to learn in the entire world on YouTube. And there are probably 500 videos on fixing your faucet or learning how to create a podcast or learning the proper technique for the deadlift and, you know, weightlifting or whatever it is. I've looked at many of these videos, you know, just in those couple of topics. There's anything you need to learn if you have that growth mindset that I can learn anything if I'm just willing to try. And that's the crucial point.
You know, it's actually funny as you're saying that I'm imagining what it would look like to go look at like my YouTube history, and it's all DIY videos. Every single one over the last, you know, 6 months or so is some sort of instructional video. Now, it could be something simple like making a new recipe, like a recipe that I've searched up, or honestly, this is crazy. And this goes back to the pain in the tail that home ownership is. In the last 6 months, I've had my oven crap out. I've had the microwave go. I've had the wash machine go. I've had the three toilets need to have the mechanism replaced. And I've either fixed or replaced manually myself all of those. That is 100% not because I know how to do something, although now I can say I could probably handle it, but because I'm willing to go learn how to repair these things and do it myself and insource the work. Now, I'm not telling you you have to do that. I mean, there's a time value to money. Sometimes it's worth it to outsource something. But the fact that I was willing to go learn a new skill set is rewarding to me, and I have the time to do it. And it goes to the fact that you can constantly pick up this new skill set. You can constantly learn something new, and it's just, it opens up the floodgates to, yeah, yes, if you can do it in the handyman space, why can't you learn something new in the digital space? Why can't you learn something new that you could turn into a small business? Why can't you learn something that can become an income stream for your family? Why can't you pursue a passion project that's in a field that you had never considered? Why can't you become a scuba diver instructor, you know, in Hawaii? There's no reason that you can't. What do you want to do? And FI, in the pursuit of FI, in many cases, makes all of these choices possible, makes it something that now you can actually visualize and you can consider, and you're trying to figure out how can you adapt it into your life. It makes life more interesting. It makes life more colorful. And I love talking about it. I love thinking about it. And I love sharing stories from people in our audience that have actually done it. Because once you have somebody else model it for you, the bar is immediately lowered as to what's possible, because now you're not going off into the void and doing something for the first time, but you're saying, wow, Jerry did this and he seems like me. And I bet you that if he can do it, I can do it. That's the value of having a show like this, where we're collecting the best ideas from different people all over the world. And we're saying, okay, I get it. That choice makes sense. I want to try that.
Right. It truly is a life optimization strategy. And that's what we've tried to focus on here. And also, you're highlighting the value of mentors, right? Like having someone that you can take under your wing and say, hey, this is a viable strategy, this FI path, that if you just read about it on some website somewhere, it might sound a little crazy. But like when you see people in real life modeling this, it becomes real. And also the value of mentors generally, right? We talked about Lisa and her just having that one random conversation with one young engineer at her first job who said, of course you can go to college. And that person believing in her and saying, are you ridiculous with that limiting belief of I'm not smart enough? Like, of course you can. That changed her entire life. Lisa's path could be dramatically different and would be dramatically different if she didn't have that one conversation. So you just never know in life how you're positively going to impact someone with just some random thing. And we affectionately call FI a superpower. If you out there in the audience can find people who you can guide and help and try to make their lives better, like you just never know who this is going to stick with. So I think that concept of mentoring is important. And just to keep going with the Lisa episode, it was amazing how many of just these little mindset issues she had and overcame in her life. She didn't want to leave that relationship and, quote, go backwards in her life. And that was just, again, another limiting belief that, like, I'm a 30-year-old. I have a successful job, et cetera, et cetera. I can't go backwards in my life and live with my parents or go to an apartment or all these things, right? She had the, quote, nice house in the nice neighborhood that she always looked up to when she was living in a trailer. And it's hard to leave that. But sometimes you have to make the decision that's right for you and not what's societally correct or maybe what you thought would be this light at the end of the tunnel or light at the end of the rainbow, as I mix metaphors, as Jonathan said on the
It was a beautiful mixation.
That was a good one. That was a real good one. You just have to get over that. She knows, looking back, that she had this perfect house hack set up with this house that she had bought for her parents. Her parents were living there. She could have lived there essentially for free it would have cost her zero extra dollars because she was already paying the $800 a month. Like, but she didn't want to because she didn't want to go backwards in her life. And that was a mistake. You just sometimes you can't worry about what other people think. I think that was my big takeaway and something that I've always tried to model in my life. I just don't care what other people think about me. I do my own thing. I make my own decisions, no matter how wacky or normal they may look. And that's fine with me. Like, you just get so caught up in worrying about what other people think and looking good and doing all this stuff. And that's the path to really running out of money pretty quickly. And that's the keeping up with the Joneses, right? Like, that's what people do.
I think this was almost an exaggerated look at it. What I really latched on to is for her, what a powerful imprint growing up in a trailer had on her life. Now, I think it's such an obvious point to say that growing up in a trailer in no way defines your value as a person. It's crazy to even think that. But you could tell, even reading into her article, that it was ingrained into her DNA. And I think what's so interesting is once you move away from the specific aspect of exactly where you grew up, how many of us carry some level of our socioeconomic upbringing into the choices that we make as an adult and overcompensate for it in many ways, and what a self-destructive path that could actually end up being. And I think once you realize that you're more than the sum of your stuff, you know, Phi almost allows you to put it back in perspective and say, I'm wildly happy with the belongings that I have that are high value, high quality items that do what they need to do for my life. And I no longer need to make purchasing decisions based on my view of my identity as a child or as a young adult. And once you can get to the place where you're content, you're satisfied, and you're not always craving the next dopamine hit from the next purchase that upgrades your life in some small way, it adds balance.
Yeah, and truly focus on what's important in your life, not just the typical keeping up with the Joneses. I know I said it before, but it's not about that. It's about finding what you value in life. And we don't want to beat this to death here, but it's a very important topic. And just my last thing, and Jonathan, you may have something else about the Lisa episode, but I love the concept of FIOR, financial independence, optional retirement. And I think that's a really cool take. And I think that's what we've kind of landed on. I know we talked about it a couple minutes in the Monday episode, but I really did want to reiterate that, like, we are not about the retiring early, the traditional FIRE. You can do that if you want. You don't have to. It's up to you. It's your decision. And I think that's where the option comes in. And I really like that Lisa kind of renamed it in this cutesy manner. And I think what she focused on was every month she gets a little bit more power. I think that was her quote from the episode. And that's the important part here, that she is taking this power back in her life and accruing more and more of it. Every month, she has a 50 to 70% savings rate, right? Like, she is just getting more and more power in her life. Eventually, she'll get to the point where she's at FI and she can decide to do whatever she wants. Then it truly is optional. You can work for money if you want. You can work in that job. You can work in any of the other millions upon millions of jobs that, hey, maybe I wanted to try this someday, but I never was going to because I'm living paycheck to paycheck, right? Like, that's how a normal person goes through life. But with that optionality, Lisa or whoever out there pursuing FI, you can do things that you never dreamed were possible. And that could be work. It could not be. It doesn't matter. It's having those options. So just a little extra touch on that is it's just so important to have options, to have this freedom, to have this power in your life. And really, you do that just by having savings and by increasing your net worth every single month. It's not any more complicated than that.
Love it. All right, guys, super quick update about the Choose FI Local. First of all, those are blowing up. Most of the groups have well over 30 people in them. Some of the groups with higher concentration areas have more than 100 people in them. The power of these local groups is in this idea of community, and they're going to continue to add more and more value. One, once you join it, and two, once we figure out what's working, how to best add value to the local community. And so a lot of the ideas that Brad and I were spitballing back and forth, our community really has already developed and taken to the next level. And so those ideas are being shared on the local groups. If you're interested in joining one of those local groups, just go to choosefi.com/local. It'll give you a list of all the groups that are active to date. If you don't see one that fits your specific location, or you would like to start or admin one, just tag or message Brad or myself on our Facebook group. If you want to join the Facebook group, there's over 6,000 people in that group now. It's probably closer to 7,000 by the time that this airs. You can just go to choosefi.com/Facebook to join the group. We would love to include you in the conversation and help you find a local community. This is very exciting. And I think it's the fact that there's an infrastructure in place already. There's a level of consistency that's going to make these so valuable going into 2018. So anyways, to everybody that's already participating in one of those, the groups are awesome because you're there. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be a lot of fun. The other thing that I want to mention is we've talked to you about CampFi many times. There's two of them in Florida. There's one in Virginia next year. There's probably going to be one in the Midwest, and we'll probably see some in California. These groups are what make those camps possible. That's going to add an infrastructure in place so we can quickly get those things up and running for you to give you a larger venue. And then we also talked about the idea of doing a Phi Festival. These groups will very likely make a Phi Festival a possibility where we can get potentially hundreds of us from all across the country together for like a larger event. So it's exciting to see this thing grow. It's exciting to see how much enthusiasm there is in this idea. And you could see, I can already see once the light bulb goes off and you realize the possibilities of having a tribe of people in your own local community, how much value that adds. We're getting messages, literally 20 messages a day about how can we get involved? How can we get one of these started? So thank you for reaching out to us. That feedback is invaluable and we're going to keep making this better. All right. So I want to go ahead and dip into the mailbag. We have a couple voicemails that we want to play today. And this first one started out as a question from Lori. And she says, I have a question about educational IRAs. We have three kids, ages 13, 14, and 18. Our son just started freshman year today at Florida State University. My parents started educational IRAs with a financial advisor for each of them when they were born, putting $600 to $800 a year in each. I have just now discovered FI, your podcast, and all the talk of VTSAX. Can the IRAs be put in an index fund? I'm so confused. The son has $19,000, one daughter has $17,000, and the last daughter has $16,000. P.S. Our son did part-time dual enrollment. He took AP classes his junior and senior year. He's going into college with 22 credits. We also have a program in Florida called Bright Futures. If you score at or above a 29 on your ACT or a 1290 on your SAT, as well as get at or above a 3.5 GPA, you will get 100% of your tuition. Now that's tuition only, not room and board, covered at a state school. Something to shoot for second generation FIRES. So Lori, thank you for that extra information. And as to your question, we sent this over to the Millionaire Educator and he has gotten back to us with a response. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and play that. And also, I should clarify that with the dollar amounts that she mentioned, I did check with her. That money is in an ESA.
Hello, this is Ed Mills from the Millionaire Educator calling in to answer Lori's educational IRA question. This is also referred to at times as a Coverdell educational savings account. There is some confusion with the name of the savings vehicle, but we're talking about the same thing here. She wants to know, can she move her current ESA balances to an index fund, namely the VTSAX that we all seem to know and love? Let me say, yes, you can move to an index fund, but you're not going to be able to go directly to Vanguard and open up a new Ed Savings account. Vanguard no longer opens those accounts. I'm grandfathered in because I opened one in 2006. Nonetheless, Lori, you have two good low-cost options here. First thing you could do is roll your money to Schwab and use their total stock market index, and that is SWTSX, and they charge 3 basis points at Schwab. Another low-cost option would be to roll your money to TD Ameritrade. There you would be able to access their commission-free ETFs, and you would go to Vanguard's VTI. The VTI is the ETF equivalent of the VTSAX. Sorry for liking those confusing acronyms there, but VTI is essentially the same thing, okay? It has the same cost, 4 basis points. So there at Schwab and TD Ameritrade, you have two low-cost index fund options. The second part of Lori's email describes a scenario that I think I will be faced with. She mentions her son is a college freshman. He arrived in college with 22 hours, credit hours. He's almost a college sophomore, and he seems to have to be a member of the Bright Futures program in Florida, which will pay for his in-state tuition. Let me just say, right off the bat, nicely done. He obviously had a high SAT or ACT, and he had over a 3.5 GPA. Excellent performance, young man. So here's the scenario. Let's say he doesn't need all this money for tuition since it's covered. What can we do with this Ed Savings account? Lori, be aware, the first thing is that you can use the Ed Savings account money to cover room and board. So if he has those costs at Florida State, you can tap into those funds to cover that. As long as he's going to school at least half-time, he can access that money. I imagine he's going full-time. Another thing you might want to think about, and this is kind of a long-term view, let's say your eldest graduates and he has a lot of Ed Savings account money left over. Well, as long as you change the beneficiary on that account before he turns 30, I believe it is, you can basically move that money to, say, a nephew, a niece, a granddaughter, or there's a number of family members you could change the beneficiary on this and pass that money to them. What I'm envisioning doing, I don't really like the idea of just flat out giving the money to a nephew or a niece or a grandchild. I want a skin in the game component to it. So what I'm thinking about doing possibly is a 0% interest educational loan to my nephew or niece, and just be, something, an agreement between us, and they would pay me back that money. And that way they would have money to go to school, and there would also be a financial education component to it. You know, hopefully they wouldn't borrow too much from me, and they would learn the value of managing your money. You know, that'd make them pay me back potentially. So that's what I'm thinking about. If you want to take a deeper dive into the Ed Savings account, I recommend listening to Joshua Sheets' Radical Personal Finance episode 106, where he really talks about some things you can use the ESA money for, little outside the box ideas there. For example, you could use that money to potentially buy real estate, you know, that room and board money, let's say. You pull that out and maybe use that as a down payment on a property, and then, like Coach Carson would suggest, could do a little house hacking, you know, roommates, and you're paying off a duplex or a single family residence. There's a lot of things you can do with this money. There are a lot of options. So take a look. I hope this answer helps you. All right. Frugal on. Bye-bye.
Frugal on. I love it. And dude, that's a great idea. So if you can use it for room and board, then let's say you get, $20,000 in this account over a period of 10, 15 years. That is your down payment on your fourplex. That's your gateway to house hacking. You've gotten all the money in there pre-tax. I mean, that's a game plan right there, right?
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, I obviously don't know the rules behind it, but if that's been vetted by Joshua Sheets and Coach Carson, then it certainly sounds like a pretty cool way to move forward, unquestionably. And yeah, this is the neat part about having all these in-house experts here that we can call up and, hey, we had a question. Ed Mills, come and give us an answer. Or we have an answer from Coach Carson coming up in the next week or two on a Friday roundup. Like, it's just so valuable having these people who are really experts in their field. So a huge thanks to the Millionaire Educator. And yeah, we really appreciate it. And I also wanted to just mention that Bright Futures Scholarship. Wow, that is incredible that the state of Florida does that. I had never heard of that program before, but those are the type of little college hacks that I'd love to accumulate. If you know of other programs like that in your state, or even just like the Caddy Scholarship that we talked about with Noah and Becky, like these kind of off the wall things, if we can somehow accumulate a repository of these, then it can help our entire community. So, I mean, that's now a running list of two. I'm sure there are many hundreds of these things, but if you have an idea or you've come across a scholarship that is really beneficial, send it to us. Go on our Facebook group and post it, or send it to us at feedback@choosethefi.com and let us know.
All right, so we got a voicemail from Michelle, and she's sharing some changes that she's made over the last several months. Wanted to go ahead and play this for you.
Hi, Brad and Jonathan. My name is Michelle. I'm so happy I found your community. I've listened to about half your podcasts in the last 2 weeks. I wanted to share a little of how far my husband and I have come over the last 10 months. We started this journey towards FI in January, well before we ever actually heard the term. My husband was preparing to retire in March at age 49, and I wanted to be prepared to retire with him within 3 to 4 years. I realized that the first step was reducing our outflow. We were hemorrhaging money. I started with an Excel spreadsheet and listed all of our debts and discretionary budget items that were in our control to reduce. We came up with 23 in total, adding them as we went. We began working through these items one by one, tracking the monthly payments we were making and the new monthly cost, which in most cases was zero. We paid off all of our credit cards, one of our vehicles, all my student loans, and in total made changes in 19 of the 23 so far, saving monthly on each between $3 and $900. This morning, I added my 19th item as we refinanced our vehicle to a lower interest rate, saving $200. This brought our monthly total of money saved to $4,785. We literally went from living paycheck to paycheck to a point where beginning next month, my whole paycheck will be going towards investments. I am now an avid listener to your podcasts. We've hit FI simply by reducing our spend, and I have my retirement date set for December 15th of 2020. Thank you for all that you do. I feel like I've learned so much from your podcast and community, and I can't wait to see what's in store for our future. Thanks so much.
Doesn't that just blow your mind, Brad?
That is mind-blowing. It truly is. I mean, wow, $4,700 a month and her entire paycheck is saved? That's incredible. I mean, truly incredible. And the fact that her fire date is 3 years from now, right? 36 and a half months from the time we're recording this. That's truly, truly incredible. And Michelle, I cannot thank you enough for that voicemail. It just warms my heart when I hear stuff like that. And that you've taken action just from listening to a podcast. Like, that's all on you. It's about taking action. Everyone out there, you have to hear this. You can listen to the podcast. You can read articles until you're blue in the face. But you have to take action. And Michelle sat down and did it. And that is really incredible.
And we're just seeing this over and over again. Did you see that post from Matthew in our Facebook group the other day?
Yes, I did.
It blew my mind. So like, just for our audience, if you remember last week, we played the voicemail from Cassandra. Totally separate voicemail, not related to this, but Matthew just posted it on the Facebook group. And I have to share it with you. He said, "Hi everyone. I just wanted to share my brief experience with FI that started about 6 weeks ago. My brother-in-law, Kirk, informed my wife of this podcast he was listening to. He said that I would either hate it or be 110% all in. I am definitely stubborn. I'm an all or nothing type of person. If you wanted an example of my stubbornness, my wife has been preaching to me for the past 10 years that we need to do something about her spending. I feel horrible about wasting the last 10 years, but I can't dwell on the past. I listen to my first Choose FI podcast with my wife and the rest is history. I now listen to this podcast every day when I work out. Our first full month of being into FI was this month, November 2017. To say the last 6 weeks have been life-changing is a massive understatement. This month, we will spend $1,500 less than we did in October. Please don't tell me how much money I wasted over the last 10 years. I don't know what I was doing, honestly. I would take the kids to Target because I was bored on the weekend. Every day was Starbucks, and every weekend I took the kids there for breakfast. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I was spending around $500 a month at Target and Starbucks. I don't even know what I purchased. Our grocery bill was out of control. This month, we will spend over $500 less on our grocery bill. I cut our cable. This will save about $100 a month. I rarely even watch TV, given that I have a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old. I was just wasting money for the hell of it. I would blow through my quarterly bonuses on garbage. I had the mentality that I worked hard, so I should be able to spend whatever I want. I had no plan and figured that one day my salary increases would solve the problem. Fortunately, I've always had a 401k and an IRA, which I've contributed to for the last 18 years. So I'm starting this late at 40, but I still have the 401k and the IRA to fall back on. It makes me feel a little bit better about this, but I wanted to give a shout out to the guys at Choose FI in this group, specifically the Facebook group, for changing my family's path in life. And also to my brother, Kirk, I will always be grateful for this." I mean, guys, we're talking about who's that one person in your life. You're that one person. Who's the one person that could benefit from FI, from this idea? Because in many cases, people are paycheck to paycheck by choice. They're paycheck to paycheck because they didn't realize that there is another way. There is another lane. They're assuming that today is the only day that you have, and there's really no point to putting anything aside. If you can reframe things, if you can give them just another, an alternate future and one that they can get excited about, a design your lifestyle type future, people can change on a dime. And so, yes, it's a concept. But honestly, if it were just enough to say, spend less than you earn, then everybody would have had to figure this out. It is messaging. It's sharing your story and it's letting someone see the power of an alternate choice.
And yeah, the cool thing, the reason why Jonathan brought up Cassandra is that Kirk, Matthew's brother-in-law, is Cassandra's husband. So they've been now featured on two straight Friday roundups. And that is just so cool. Like, Cassandra had this amazing voicemail last week. And now Kirk spread the fire to his brother-in-law, Matthew. And Matthew had this epic post on the Facebook group. And like Jonathan was alluding to, Matthew said, I don't know what I was doing, honestly. I don't even know what I purchased, right? It was hundreds of extra dollars at Target and on food at the grocery store for nothing. He couldn't even point to it. And that's 10 years of doing that. Matthew, obviously, like I always say, like, don't beat yourself up about past decisions. You found this today. Your life has changed forever. You're saving $1,500 more per month now than you were just last month. That's just going to get better and better, and it's going to compound, and you are just already in a dramatically better place. It's truly remarkable. So to Kirk and Cassandra, thank you for spreading the fire, and to Matthew and your family, well done.
All right, guys, this next voicemail that we're going to play is from Heidi.
Hi, Jonathan and Brad. My husband and I are loving your Choose a Five podcasts and are very grateful for this amazing community. I feel strongly that this five framework can help stay-at-home parents validate their important lifestyle choice. Leaving the paid workforce for whatever reason, even when it's your choice, is a major challenge to your identity. It's hard to reframe both how you perceive yourself and how others perceive you. When I became a stay-at-home parent 11 years ago, I put into motion the life I designed and wanted to provide for my new son. Yet it was very challenging to explain that decision to coworkers, friends, and even family members. I was constantly asked, when are you going to start working again? Or don't you think it's a waste of your expensive education and talent? Sadly, it was only my mom's cancer diagnosis a week before my son's birth that seemed to make it more palatable for people. Somehow, being a caregiver to my mom was more acceptable than being a caregiver to my newborn baby. I realized 4 months later why. Literally, at my mom's wake service, a former boss said to me, "So, now that your mom is gone, when are you coming back?" Caring for a cancer patient was short-term. Staying home for a child was a long-term gig. Fast forward to spring 2017, I had reached the promised land with both kids in full-time school. The comments of, when are you going to get a job? Or, what do you do with all your time? Started back up in force. During Lent 2017, I took a deep dive into some self-reflection. This included intentionally thinking about my life now, my dreams, and what retirement could look like for my husband and me. I had not yet heard of the FI concept or movement. Being an avid reader and planner, I headed to my favorite place, the library, and checked out some books on retirement. How to Retire Happy, Wild, and Free by Ernie Zelinsky, and What Color is Your Parachute for Retirement by John Nelson and Richard Bowles. I wanted to learn about what issues we would face in the future and see what we could do now to prepare. Ernie's book about retirement focused very little on financials and instead on identifying who you want to be and what will bring you fulfillment. His book also introduced me to the idea of semi-retirement. I used this to reframe my current time as a stay-at-home mom with two kids in all-day school. My background is in accounting, so naturally, I looked to the numbers for guidance. Your typical 40 hours per week job is about 2,000 work hours per year. Once my kids were in school full-time, time I had to myself added up to about 1,000 hours or so. I concluded I'm half retired. I resolved I would work diligently to engage in pursuits that excite me, restore me, use my creativity, and continue my passion for learning. Amazingly, it was at this very same time that my engineer husband discovered articles about the FIRE movement and the Choose a Five podcast. After going down the rabbit hole, especially once the kids went back to school this fall, I can also now reframe my choice to be a stay-at-home parent using the FI model. At age 29, we were financially independent enough for me to leave the paid workforce. Though we weren't full FI then, we were far enough along the path to pull the trigger for me to stay home. By maintaining high savings rates and managing expenses carefully, we are currently about 2/3 FI and have a very clear track to full FI. Knowing that there is an overarching framework we can follow brings not only relief, but validation of our choices and actions. Thanks again for your continued efforts to share your passion and knowledge with the FI community. Keep up the great work.
Brad, I feel like this one is going to really hit home for you on multiple levels and for Laura. So I was super excited to play this voicemail from Heidi.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear Laura's response when she listens to the Friday roundup, because I know this does hit home for us. This is really eerily similar to our lives. So Heidi, thank you for the voicemail. Laura is also at that point where our youngest daughter just went to kindergarten and her life is dramatically different now. Laura's life, she has 35 hours a week. As Heidi said, she's kind of half retired because she, you know, Laura is still a stay-at-home mom otherwise, right, when the kids get home. But she's half retired and she has easily 1,000 extra hours this year that she has to fill and find what she wants to do with her life. Now, this is the ultimate first world fire problem, right? Like Laura and I are at Phi. She has the time and resources to do what she wants with her life, but she needs to decide what that is. And her identity has been an accountant and then a stay-at-home mom for the last 9+ years. And now she has to figure out what she wants to do with the next 50 years of her life and what her life looks like. So that type of introspection is really important. And that's something that we're so fortunate. We in the Phi community are so fortunate that we can focus on what we want out of life, what makes us happy, what we derive satisfaction and pleasure from. But it does lead to this extra layer of complexity that most people don't have to worry about when they're just kind of going through the regular motions in their life. So it is a blessing, obviously, 99%, but you have to figure out what that means to you, right? And this truly is a wonderful problem to have to grapple with, but grapple nonetheless.
I love it. All right, so this next voicemail that I'm playing is from Lance. Now, this is actually a little bit of a throwback voicemail because Lance actually went to the pop-up business school at the world headquarters of Mr. Money Mustache about a month or two ago. So very excited to play this one.
Hey, guys, this is Lance from Denver. I just wanted to leave you a quick message and let you know how amazing the pop-up business school workshop was in Longmont. I absolutely loved every minute of it. Alan and his team are phenomenal public speakers. They take it to a whole new level, and they kept me 100% engaged for 2 solid weeks, and that has never, ever happened in my life. In addition to that, I got to meet the most fantastic people ever in the workshop that had great ideas for me for starting my business. And I feel so much more comfortable about doing that and about helping others if I get questions on starting a business on their way to FI. So just want to let you guys know that. We love your show and keep up the good work. Thanks.
There's so many things that I'm excited to talk about with this voicemail. One is that I'm so passionate about what Alan is doing over at Pop-Up Business School. And I love that Lance was actually there and he was able to share his take on it. I love that Alan has been on this show. That was episode 30, which was the unspoken lever of the Phi community, featuring the side hustle, where Alan walked us through a general framework of how to start a business without going into debt. There were so many different dimensions to this. Did you notice, Brad, where Lance was talking about how not only was he excited with everything that he could learn a bit, but now how he could take that same information and give back to the community?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Spreading that fire and mentoring people like we talked about earlier in the episode.
And that goes back to the idea of local community. I mean, that's what these communities become, right? It becomes mastermind groups. It becomes entrepreneur groups. It becomes real estate groups. It becomes really exploring all the different ways that you can optimize your city for financial independence with your tribe of people. That is just amazing. Taking it one step back and going back to Alan, you guys know that we did that contest to find someone that Alan was going to give one-on-one coaching to help them build their business from scratch. Talis won that competition, and she's creating a business to offer dance classes to people with Parkinson's. We've already had our first coaching conversation, and we're about to schedule our second one. We're actually taking those conversations and turning them into episodes, which we are going to be featuring on a Monday show. We're going to give you full behind the scenes access to that so that you can kind of walk through this thought process on taking a business model, any business model, but specifically in this case, we're helping Talis with hers, and we're walking you through Alan's process. I mean, this is really, really valuable information. So you're going to get some access to kind of how Alan works through this stuff, and just super excited to share it. I'm trying to figure out when those are going to be released. One of them will either be released the very end of this year or the very beginning of next year. So those are coming up shortly, but I just wanted to let you know that that is actually happening. And Brad, I also love how active Alan is in our local communities.
Yeah, Alan is just such a rock star in every possible way. We constantly get emails from him, just how excited he is and how he gets feedback from people from ChooseFI and just how thrilled he is. And we are thrilled that Alan is a member of our community. And he's actually stepped up and he's the admin for the ChooseFI local London group. And that is just so cool. Like Alan Donegan is the head of the ChooseFI local London group. And I know personally, I'm traveling to London next August, and I can't wait to meet up with them at a pub and have a couple of beers and just sit and chat about Phi and life and everything. And it's just so cool now that we have this entire community throughout the world that really, whatever city you go to, you can find a local ChooseFI group. And yeah, big thanks to Alan for stepping up and doing that.
Can I tell you about my new bucket list goal?
Of course.
Okay. I want to go on a world tour with Alan Donegan. ChooseFI, pop-up business school, world tour, go to Melbourne, Australia. That's on the list. I'm going to try and find a way to make it happen within the next several years.
Okay. Sounds like a good bucket list goal. I'm not sure where that came from, but I love it.
He doesn't know about it either. We'll find how he feels about it. I'm just planning on ambushing him with it. But my life goal is to go on a world tour with pop-up business school.
Nice. And ambush you will, I'm sure.
All right, guys, this Monday, we are going to be doing the State of the Union of Fire. And this episode, we brought in Todd Tressiter. This is a powerful episode. I think it's one that's going to challenge all of us on our sacred cows, on our firmly held beliefs in the Phi community, maybe even on our pillars of Phi. And I'm incredibly excited about it. I'm incredibly excited about it both to listen to the episode with you guys, to collect your feedback, and then to go back in on our Friday roundup and figure out what the next step is. For every single person that says you only have people on that agree with you, well, yeah, because it's a podcast for the Phi community. But obviously, not everybody does agree with us, and it's important to challenge what you believe and then figure out where you can improve. And that's what this episode does in every single way. I hope you're as excited for it as I am.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited personally. I'm actually going through and doing the show notes for it right now, and Todd just brings it on every possible level. I mean, he is one of the smartest people I've ever spoken with. And yeah, it's just a really great episode. So we very rarely tease the Monday episodes on the Friday roundup, but this is one you guys have to be there for. It's a good one.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, that's going to bring this episode to a close. Now, as you know, we like to finish every episode by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. We have two books that we normally do. One of them is J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth. The other book is Dominic Cortuccio's book, Design Your Future. And as you guys know, we just mentioned the ChooseFI official t-shirt. If you would rather have a t-shirt instead of a book, just let us know. If you win the drawing, that's fine. We'd love to hook you up with a t-shirt instead. But either way, the way to enter the drawing, all you need to do, just go to ChooseFI.com/iTunes. Just follow the instructions there and leave us a short written review. And then send us an email to feedback@ChooseFI.com, letting us know that you left a review and then what screen name you left it under so we can match you up. And we would love to enter you in that drawing. We give away one book or t-shirt for every 5 written reviews that we get. And then we announce the winners on the Friday roundup. So Brad, how many winners do we have today?
All right, Jonathan, we have one winner today, and the winner is Liz. And she said, ChooseFI will change your life. I've always been one to save because that's what my father taught me. I also always thought I'd be working until the day I die because I never have enough money to live. This too was taught to me by my father and reinforced by the consumer society we live in today until I encountered this podcast. Then the lens through which I saw my future changed 180 degrees. Who said you have to have the Jaguar? Who said you have to be the CEO? Who said you have to ... No one. That's who. The freedom to release yourself from the obligatory societal climb and to do it so easily. Simple steps, simple hacks, simple levers that when pulled, make it all come together. Jonathan and Brad helped me realize that there is an end to the hamster wheel, an endless opportunity when we get off of it. Don't miss this podcast, for it will likely change your life.
Wow, that's awesome. That blows my mind. Hey guys, can you do me one favor before you go? Enjoy your weekend today. It would really help us out. Just take 1 second. Press the subscribe button on the platform that you're listening to this on. If it's iTunes, Overcast, Player FM, pressing the subscribe button just lets the platform know that you get value from the show. It helps us rank higher in iTunes, and it lets them know that you want to be there whenever we produce additional content. Thank you so much. The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast. where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.